From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And the word desert has increasingly been applied to places where people lack access to basic services. Food deserts are areas where affordable and healthy food options are difficult to come by. News deserts are towns or even entire counties without regular local news coverage. And today we're going to be talking about yet another incarnation of the desert concept, and that's the idea of a legal desert. With populations of lawyers declining in rural areas of Illinois, more places have limited access to sufficient legal representation. But a new program from the Illinois State Bar Association aims to address that. It's called the Rural Practice Fellowship, and its fellows are expanding access to justice throughout the rural parts of Illinois. Joining us this morning to talk about this new program is Colin Schopp, a reporter at fellow NPR member station WCPU, Peoria Public Radio. His story, Here's How the Illinois Bar Association Works to Bring Lawyers to Illinois' Legal Deserts, was published in late September. Colin, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And I think I might have said the call letters wrong there. WCBU for Bradley University. All right, listeners, if you want to join our conversation, especially if you are in rural Illinois and you've had a legal matter or you know someone who had a legal matter, had a hard time finding representation, we'd love to hear your story at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. All right, so Colin, let's start with our terms here. What exactly is a legal desert?
So there's not a hard and fast kind of ratio that determines the legal desert. But in looking at the distribution of private attorneys in rural Illinois counties, the Illinois State Bar Association found that almost more than 50% of Illinois counties have less than 0.7 private attorneys per 1,000 people. And those are areas that they would classify as a legal desert, where representation can be very difficult to find, if not in general, in the specific area that you need legal assistance in. And then I say that rule isn't hard and fast because in our Tazewell County, right here in our area, where we actually spoke to some people involved in the program, they don't technically qualify under that previous definition. And they made a separate application to the Rural Practice Initiative to kind of be qualified as a legal desert based on, I believe they said, their atmosphere as a rural county. So it's kind of a flexible definition, but it's anywhere where people are having difficulty finding a lawyer or there aren't enough lawyers to kind of go around.
I like that, the atmosphere of a rural county. I've been to a few country and western establishments in Chicago that might qualify with the atmosphere of a rural county, but I digress. This is a serious issue. So the Illinois State Bar Association, you mentioned this program, right? To intended to address this. Say more about the Rural Practice Fellowship, please.
Yeah, so the Rural Practice Fellowship is a program under the Rural Practice Initiative. The Rural Practice Initiative is a standing committee with the very broad goal of bringing more lawyers to these areas and increasing, they use the term access to justice in these areas. But the Rural Practice Fellowship specifically is a program consisting of two parts. One of those parts is for current law students or very recently graduated law students that matches them up with rural firms and has them work there as law clerks. And then the second part is the associate part of the program, where they become associate attorneys as part of the fellowship program at rural firms. And under that program, they agree to stay in that area for at least 1 year. Both programs involve stipends to help these people get started. It involves kind of supporting services from the Illinois State Bar Association to make sure they're settling in well, just with the goal of introducing more faces to these areas and kind of rounding out the staff at these rural law firms who maybe for years and years haven't had new employees.
This is interesting. Now, I know the government has programs to bring like doctors to underserved medical areas. Those are government programs, but this is a private group, right? The State Bar Association. How is this funded?
So currently, the Illinois State Bar Association is paying for this entirely out of their own pocket. They have committed $250,000 a year towards this program. They are currently looking for donations, and they are looking for other ways to fund it. But obviously, they consider these rural legal deserts something that needs addressed directly. So they're putting a lot of their own money towards it. So they're looking for other avenues going forward to continue this program. This is its second class of fellows. So they are heading into their third year, about to start looking for more applications for that.
So for your story, you interviewed Sarah Taylor, who's a practicing attorney in Carbondale, Illinois, also the standing committee chair of the Rural Practice Initiative. What did she say about the declining attorney population in rural Illinois?
Yeah, she said that it's difficult not just for the people. Well, obviously, it's difficult for the people who can't find representation. It puts you in a very difficult situation. But it's also difficult for our legal system as a state and as counties, because what happens in these rural areas as the lawyer population declines is that, well, one, lawyers can't retire. They part of this program is kind of giving these rural attorneys who have been working in their communities for decades off ramps, successors, a way to eventually retire without leaving this massive hole in legal representation in their communities. So that's one huge benefit that is happening currently, where these people just don't feel like they can retire. A second thing that happens in these communities where there is not as much access to legal representation is a rise in self-representation, which presents a number of problems, as Sarah Taylor puts it, for the legal system. Not only because, you know, as she said, she would like people to have a lawyer to represent them to make sure that they get their justice served, but also when you're having this increasing amount of self-representation, the legal system, I'm sure it's not a surprise to anyone that it can be very confusing and daunting if you're not someone who went to years of school specifically to do that. But she says that as these levels of self-representation rise, it can kind of throw a wrench into the works. It can make it more difficult to have a smoothly functioning legal system.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about self-representation. Is that in the criminal realm or civil realm or all of the above?
No, this would be particularly civil matters that this civil is matters. Increasing.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is, I'm glad you brought this up, because we noticed there was a story in the Champaign News Gazette newspaper documenting an uptick in self-representation for criminal cases there, which a lot of the people interviewed for that story seemed to think it was a lack of trust in the legal system, bad experiences with public defenders in the past. But with civil cases, you know, I think there's a greater, you can say it's less trust and more access is an issue, perhaps. What happens when someone isn't able to access, you know, civil legal representation? And maybe you can sort of say what some of the cases we're talking about, where people run aground on the complexities of the legal system, as you were saying a moment ago.
Well, yeah. So we're talking about things like family court. We're talking about things like civil suits. We're talking about personal matters. But in general, what happens is that thing that Taylor alludes to, where people aren't getting the adequate access to justice. And it's important to note that I think that Champaign is interesting, because in that area, it may not be, you know, a legal desert in the same way, and access may be higher, but there's also a financial component to this, obviously, an access to justice, where if people can't afford it, and if they don't know about legal aid, they're not getting that level of justice in return as well. So yeah, we're talking about mostly what happens when these cases run aground is that they just kind of sputter. They can be business things. They can be, as I said, family court. It's just not finding the optimal outcomes for these people, whereas with representation, they would have had those optimal outcomes.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Colin Schopp, a reporter with WCBU, Peoria Public Radio, one of our partner stations in the NPR system and here at the 21st Show. His recent story is, Here's How the Illinois Bar Association Works to Bring Lawyers to Illinois' Legal Deserts. And okay, so you mentioned access, and I mean, there does seem to be a real issue with uneven access. Can you talk more about that, and especially as it relates to income and ability to pay? And I mean, does this affect, is it a poverty question? Are people of color more affected? Say more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. I obviously, if you don't have the money to retain a lawyer, you're not going to be able to get the same level of representation that you would be able to otherwise. And again, that's that access to justice concept. There's also the concept of being able to reach out to lawyers and have someone represent you, even if they're not close. In my conversation with Taylor, we kind of talked about how as a lawyer in Carbondale does get calls from people in these areas that we would consider legal deserts. And then when she then wants to refer them to someone closer so they can, you know, come in, shake the hand and sit down and talk over the desk as opposed to doing everything over calls or email, she doesn't have anyone in those areas that she can actually refer them to because there's just not the availability there. So it really is, as you say, is this access? Is it about poverty? Is it about specifically impacting populations of color? It's kind of everything. It's kind of a multi-pronged problem that the Illinois State Bar Association is facing down. Fortunately, you know, as we mentioned, there are legal aid organizations like Prairie State Legal Services and Land of Lincoln Legal Aid that can work with the Illinois State Bar Association and these rural firms to kind of help people who are struggling on the financial portion. But when it comes down to that concept of, you know, I would love to represent you, but I'm too far away, I don't think it can be done effectively, and I think you deserve, you know, more effective representation than that, that's a really sticky issue. And that's what this Rural Practice Initiative is trying to ease the pain of a little bit.
Okay, so we've been looking at this from the perspective of the firms, right? The established lawyer who maybe feels they can't retire because there's no one to take over and they don't want to leave their fellow citizens in the lurch. We've been talking about this from the perspective of the clients not being able to access legal services. What about the actual young lawyers who are trying to be drawn to these areas, right? You spoke with, I think, Simone Freeney, if I'm saying that right, who's mm-hmm. a 2022 associate fellow for this initiative. She was matched with a firm in Pekin, Illinois. What brought her there?
Yeah, absolutely. So Simone Freeney is a recent graduate of DePaul University. When I talked to her, she was waiting on her bar exam results. I need to check back in with her to see how she did because she said they could come as early as October. So hopefully that was good news. Her family actually lived in Pekin originally. They lived in Pekin in the 80s. At a certain point, they packed up and moved to North Carolina. But after graduating from DePaul University, she says that the experience of a Chicago law firm for a student directly out of law school is going to be very different, right, than the experience at a rural firm. There are a couple of reasons. Firstly, there's more opportunity to get really hands-on. A recurring theme with people I talk to is that, you know, they would sit in with the attorney for one or two meetings, and then maybe they'd have meetings on their own. And that may just not happen at, for instance, a Chicago firm. Another reason is the cost of living is going to be very different, which has been a double-edged sword in these conversations. And that obviously salaries at Chicago firms are going to be higher, but you have to consider that the cost of living of being there in Chicago is also going to be much higher than, for instance, where Simone Freeney landed in Pekin. Also, she says that she just really enjoys the face-to-face kind of default of working in a rural area. Of course, we have Zoom and all of that now, and all of that is wonderful and makes our lives much easier. But something that comes up talking with several of my interviews is that in rural areas, their clients really kind of put a premium on that ability to, you know, look you in the eye and shake your hand and meet you face-to-face when you're going to be the person who's representing them in their legal matter. Because often these lawyers in these smaller communities aren't just lawyers, they're fixtures of the community. They're people that, you know, everyone knows. So it's a combination of all those things, kind of her history with rural areas, the atmosphere, and that face-to-face and opportunities that brought her back to Pekin.
Nice. All right, so just about a minute left in our conversation. The fellowship, I think you mentioned, is in its second year. What does the mm-hmm. Bar Association say is its goal for this program in the future?
Yeah, so I talked with the president, Rory Wyler, and as he said, it's only in its second year. It's not been very long to collect data or anything like that, but they are hoping to expand. As we talked about, Tazewell isn't technically a legal desert, but they applied and they were, that's actually how Simone Freeney ended up in Pekin there, was through that application. But the next thing they want to do is start expanding into urban legal deserts, which is really more about the financial piece of it. And the examples Wyler gave are areas like in Peoria, in Moline, in the Metro East, these areas where even if there are access to lawyers, it's just more common that you may not have the financial piece in order to get adequate representation. So that, I think, is kind of the future of the program, is both cementing these firms so people can retire and expanding into urban areas where the legal desert is really more of a financial situation.
Colin Chopp is a reporter with WCBU, Peoria Public Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today on The 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking about the Quad Cities as the second largest concentration of people of Latino or Hispanic descent in Illinois. That's after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.